In other words, if it were on the basis of works, then grace wouldn't have anything to do with it. It wouldn't be grace at all. It would be works. Therefore, God has ordained that it be of faith so that it might be our inheritance as a result of his promise, not as a result of our efforts and our performance. To the end, and that's what Paul goes on to say, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, that all of those who are the offspring, the spiritual offspring of Abraham, might have a sure access to the promise of God, and not to that only which is of the law. In other words, not just to the Jew who is born of the seed of Abraham by natural generation, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And then in verse 17, we see, beginning with a parenthesis here, a description of Abraham's faith. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that is, God had promised, that he, God, was able also to perform. Now let's go back and look at this, at these four verses, more carefully. Verse 17, the beginning phrase there, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, is a parenthetical insertion from God's words to Abraham when he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He said, I am making thee not just a father, but a father of many. And that's the reference there, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. And then we see something very interesting. The King James translation is not as accurate here as perhaps some others. The phrase before him literally means in the Greek, like unto him. And what Paul is doing here is comparing Abraham to God. He's preparing Abraham's faith to God's faith. And he is describing in what happened to Abraham that this is the way God does things. For he says here that Abraham was like unto him whom he believed, even God. Abraham's faith was like God's faith. Now, when God spoke in the beginning and said, light be, did God believe that light would happen? He did. That was an expression of his faith, wasn't it? It was his word spoken in faith, and when the word is of God is spoken in faith, things happen. Isn't that right? And so he said, light be, and there was light. He said, let the waters that are below and the waters above separate, and let there be a firmament or an atmosphere surrounding the earth. And you know what happened? It occurred. God spoke, and it occurred. What Paul is saying here is Abraham's faith was just like God's. He was like unto the one he believed, even God, who has the power to quicken the dead. And what does God do? He calls those things which be not as though they were. When he said light be, he was declaring a thing that was not as if it was. And it became. Are you listening? What did Abraham declare? What did Abraham do? He called that which is not as if it were. How many children did Abraham have at this time? He had zero. Zippo. But God had said to him, remember in Genesis 15, 5 and 6, he showed him the stars of the sky and he said, Abraham, so shall thy seed be. Abraham said, if God said it, that settles it. I will call that which isn't yet as if it was. And so Abraham's testimony began to be, every time Abraham said his name, Abraham, what was he declaring? I'm the father of many. That's what God declared. That's what God said that he was, the father of many nations. So shall thy seed be. He was expressing his confidence in what God had said, and he was demonstrating what I call the God kind of faith, showing forth the God kind of faith. God's faith is, he calls those things that are not as if they were. Let me give you another example. Jesus, it was mentioned this morning, I forget the context, but somebody mentioned it this morning in the ministry. Jesus is going into Jerusalem one day to the temple in the week in which he was betrayed and crucified, and on the way he finds a fig tree, and he wants something to eat, and the fig tree has leaves on it, and it ought to have fruit, but there's no fruit. So what does he do? He curses it. What happened to the fig tree immediately? Yeah, it died from the bottom up. Now, it didn't show anything, did it? It looked like nothing had happened, but Jesus cursed that thing, calling those things that be not as if they were. You're never going to eat. Nobody's going to eat fruit of you again. This is what faith is. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 with me, and let's make the connection here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, meaning that our faith is the evidence of that which we don't see yet. It is declaring that which is not as if it were. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what Paul is saying here? Okay. And look also at Mark chapter 11 a moment. Lord, give us a real clear presentation of this tonight. Give us a real clear, easy to understand presentation. Mark 11, chapter 22 and 23. Now the 22nd verse reads this: And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. In the margin of my Bible, I've written that in the Greek. John, kill that thing for me, would you please? Thank you. That's all it took, John, was just a... Yeah. Yeah, just fear and trembling. Just shut right down. Is that the... Did Jerry fix that one today? Is that the... He took the other one. Yeah, this is the second one. In the margin of my Bible, I've written that in the Greek, this is have the faith of God. Not faith in God, but have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. And that's what we're discussing tonight. This is what Abraham demonstrated was the God kind of faith. Man's kind of faith is based on hope and wishing. God's kind of faith is based upon a permanent, unshakable expectation. Have the God kind of faith. Verse 23, this is the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, everybody say whosoever.
Whosoever.
That's anybody here not a whosoever? That includes us all, doesn't it? We're all whosoevers. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever. Everybody say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
Whatsoever he saith. Now, what is Jesus declaring here? He's saying that if you will declare those things that are not as if they were, and not doubt them in your heart, you will have whatsoever. Whosoever can have whatsoever if you are able to say and with your mouth and not doubt in your heart. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean. Well, therefore, let's read verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, let's make one thing very clear as we're discussing this. You may not declare yourself a millionaire, calling that which is not as if it were. See, that's presumption. Why is it presumption? Why couldn't you call yourself a millionaire? Because you have no word of God on which to base your faith. Where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is where people get in trouble. People say, well, I'm using my faith. I'm speaking my faith. I'm going to be president of the United States. See, that's not faith. That's presumption, isn't it? The reason that it's not faith is you have no promise there to generate real Bible faith, real spiritual faith. Suppose you were to say, I'm speaking those things that are not as if they were because I see that that's the God kind of faith. I'm going to marry that woman. That woman's going to be my wife. Now, she may wind up being your wife, but that's presumption because there's no promise to base that on. Do you understand that? But suppose you were a person who didn't feel saved, but you said, I bless God, I'm going to heaven. When I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. That's calling those things that be not as if they were, and that can be an expression of genuine faith because you have the Word of God to base that upon, isn't it? Suppose you're sick. You're sick. You're wrenching up your guts, and you say, I'm healed. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Could that be faith speaking? It really can be, isn't it? Because the Scripture says He took all my infirmities and carried all of my diseases. By His stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed. Therefore, even though I might be wrenching up my insides, I'm calling those things that be not as if they were. You understand? Let's suppose that you're a person, you're under the dominion of some habit, some particular sin, for example, that might have attached itself to you. Perhaps there's a demonic oppression that is going on in your life, and you're not able to throw that off. And you get up in the morning, you say, bless God, I'm free. Praise God Almighty, I am delivered. Now, is that the kind of thing that is appropriate for us to do? Yes, calling those things that be not as if they were. All right, suppose you have a father who doesn't know the Lord. If he dies today, he's going to hell. But yet you say, my father is going to be saved. He's going to heaven. I'm calling that thing which is not as if it was. Is that something that you can, is appropriate? Of course it is, because the Scripture says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved and your... See? True faith will be generated from, look here now, look back at Romans, look at verse 18, and notice where Abraham's faith came from. Verse 17 and 18. Abraham's faith came from the Word of God. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Verse 18, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Faith is always based upon the promise of God. If you do not have a promise of God on which to base your confession, then you're simply filling the air with your words. It's not going to produce anything. It is not the God kind of faith. There may even be a promise for it, but if you don't know the promise, you're not speaking faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to get across tonight? If a person is in a situation where he's lost and you're trying to get him saved, the most important thing you can do for him is to give him the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why is it that Jesus said, go forth unto all the nations, preaching and teaching all that I have commanded you? Because from that comes faith. And without faith can no man please God. How many people are going to be saved apart from faith? Zero. No flesh is justified by the works of the law. All flesh is justified purely by faith. Faith comes from the Word of God. Therefore, it's a high calling, brother, to preach the Word of God, to teach the Word of God. Listen, when we have an opportunity, beloved, to teach a Sunday school class, when we have an opportunity to work in the nursery and read out of the books, you know, to the church of the future, when we have an opportunity to teach in a Bible school environment, something like that. Although those things do not look the same as what I'm doing tonight or what we do here in our regular services, they are equally as important, aren't they? This is the declaration of the Word of God, and it is, I'm sure you all have the same experience. I was 37 years old when I got saved. But the only reason I was able to get saved is from the time I was a little guy. I never was in a nursery. I didn't know what a nursery looked like. My parents had me in church. Our kids were never in a nursery. They didn't know what a nursery looked like. We took them to church from the time they were tiny babies, and we kept them with us, and you know, they learned how to sit quietly and how to handle that situation. That was just our family's experience. But all of that, All of that went in there, 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 and I had something to anchor my faith to when it came time for me, when I decided I really wanted to express my faith and trust God for my eternal future, the Word was there, and so faith worked for me. It's important to understand that what Paul is writing here is that Abraham's faith did not come apart from hearing the Word of God. If you're going to believe God for something, I don't care what it is, if you're going to believe Him for your own salvation, you're going to believe Him for the salvation of a loved one, if you're going to believe Him for healing, if you're going to believe Him for deliverance, if you're going to believe Him for the blessings of the prosperity of this life, if you're going to believe Him for joy and peace, and if you're going to believe Him for right standing and boldness in His presence, you are not going to be able to really believe Him with a God kind of faith apart from the Word of God. Let me take you to the book of Isaiah just a moment. You've heard me say over and over again, chapter 29, Isaiah 29. You've heard me say over and over again, if you've heard me talk on this subject, that I have a part of my family that's not walking with the Lord. I have a part of my seed that does not know the Lord. And I have a confidence that God's taking care of that. I can speak about this. I can declare those things that are not as if they were, for the simple reason that I have the Word of God on which to base my confession. I'm confessing the future, but I'm confessing it based upon the promise of God. You see, to me, God cannot fail. So that's what really faith is. Faith understands, here's a promise, and I just know He can't fail. It would be easier for me to not be saved than it would be for my son and his family not to be saved. And here's why. Isaiah 59, verse 21. Isaiah 59, 21. What did I say? 29, I'm sorry. I'd gone off. This overhead projector has me discombobulated here. I'm waiting for it to come back on. Every once in a while, I hear it go creak, crack, crack, and I think that thing will kick back on again over there. Verse 20 and 21, but 21 is the key. The whole passage is wonderful. Verse 19 says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." And actually, I've taken that verse. I moved the comma. You know where the comma is after flood? I moved the comma back three words, and I read it like this. "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." Now this 21st verse is where I'm hanging my hat. "As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." Now I know that the Spirit that is within me, and that is the Spirit of the El Shaddai God, the Almighty God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and the words that are in my mouth, they are the words of the Almighty God. I know that that Spirit shall be on my son and his wife, my seed, and upon their children, my seed's seed. Sister, get a hold of this for your eight, hey? And the words that are in my mouth, the words of praise, the words of worship, the words of exalting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, those words will be in my son's mouth, in his wife's mouth, and in those are my seed, and in the mouth of my seed's seed. Now, see, God could not fail here. God could not fail. It would be, for me, I have a rest about this. For me, it would be easier for him to have lied to me about heaven than for him to have lied to me about this. It would be easier for me to fail heaven than it would be for my family not to be saved. I mean, I know that. I just know that. How do I know that? Because it is written. How do I know that? Because he has said in my heart, "So shall this be for you." And that's what faith is. Faith is based upon the promise of God. It's getting a hold of a promise of God that you know that you can get a hold of for yourself. Faith is developed as we meditate upon that promise. Don't you know that Abraham thought about that day after day, night after night, year after year, and decade after decade, the promises that God had made? And his meditating on that, and meditating on that, and meditating on that caused him to come to a full and complete persuasion that what God had promised that he was able to do. And remember that Abraham did not have any Bible, but he had the Word of God. It was spoken to him, wasn't it? He had the spoken Word of God. So shall thy seed be. All right, let's go back to Romans again. All right, the God kind of faith, the way God acts, the way he works, all through the Old Testament, did he not declare those things that be not as if they were? When you read the Messianic prophecies, he talked about these things as if they were a fait accompli. Do you understand fait accompli? Do you know what that phrase means? Fait accompli? It's a French idiom that means it's an accomplished fact. It's done. What, Mary? Is Barbara still drunk? Listen, I know how to handle drunks, Barbara. And if you don't straighten up here, we're going to have a problem. We'll send her back to the wall. Face the wall. Fait accompli, an accomplished fact. As far as God is concerned, it's an accomplished fact. He speaks the end from the beginning. He not only knows it, but he also declares it. That is the God kind of faith. And there's power in his words because there's faith in his words. Now let's look at the 18th verse. 17 says that God, when he releases his faith, is declaring things which do not exist yet as if they did exist. It doesn't make any difference to him. As far as you understand that God, there's no time with him. There's no today and tomorrow. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. He declares it, and with us, it maybe not happen for 20 years. As far as he's concerned, it's already taken place. Verse 18 says, talking now about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Now that's kind of strange, isn't it? Against hope, he believed in hope. Now here are two kinds of hope that are being described. You understand that at the time Isaac was born, Abraham was 100 years old. How old was his wife? His wife was 90 years old. The scripture says that it had ceased with Sarah after the manner of women. She had no capacity to conceive any longer. She had no ovulation. She had no cycle. There was nothing happening in her body. Years ago, that had stopped. And so there was absolutely no way that she would ever have a child. She and Abraham had cooked up this deal where he and Hagar would come together and they'd make a son, you know, help God out. But God already demonstrated that that wasn't his way. And so Abraham went out in the 15th chapter of Genesis and he cries out to God. He said, God, he said, look, the most important person, the closest person to me in my house is a servant. I haven't a single son. And what are you telling me that I'm going to be the father of many nations? And that's when God took him out and said, look at the stars. Can you count them? And Abraham said, no, I can't count them. And God said, okay, that's the way your seed's going to be. So shall your seed be. You will never be able to count your seed. Abraham, however, had no earthly hope. 100 years old, 90-year-old barren wife. You figure if she hasn't conceived in 90 years, and she has stopped after the manner of women, she's certainly not going to conceive now. There is absolutely nothing upon which they could exercise hope. And against this absence of hope, he yet believed in hope. Now, this hope is the God kind of hope. And the God kind of hope, the Greek word here for hope is really a wonderful word. We've talked about it before. It means a confident expectation. And what this verse is saying is that Abraham, against all natural hope, believed in a confident expectation that he would become, not that he might, not that it might, would be a possibility. The word might here is not a good translation either. That he would, this is a definite, not a possible or a hopeful, that he would become the father of many nations according to what? According to that which he was wishing for? No, according to what? according to that which was spoken to him, according to the promise that God had made. And so every circumstance says, absolutely no, it cannot occur, this cannot happen. It's been 25 years since you came to this land. It's been that long since God gave you this promise. He renewed the promise, but nevertheless, it is not going to happen. You tried by having this other son with Hagar. God rejected him. This is not going to occur. Everything was against him, but yet he still believed. He had a confidence in his expectation that he would be the father of many nations because God had spoken it to him. Verse 19 says, now let's see the description of Abraham's faith. And being not weak in faith. Did you notice verse 20 says he was strong in faith? Now that tells us there are different kinds of faith. There's weak faith, there's strong faith. There's no faith. Jesus talked about great faith. You remember those passages? Abraham was not weak in faith. How did he keep from being weakened in his faith? Think about how you would be in a situation like this. You have the promise of God, but every evidence says, no, 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 it won't happen. Your dad says it won't happen. Your mom says it won't happen. Your husband says it won't happen. Your wife says it won't happen. Your pastor says it won't happen. All the elders say it won't occur. Your best friends say it's impossible. It will not happen. It can't possibly happen. Everything says no, but God said yes. Now, that's all Abraham has. He just has the word of God. He was not weak in his faith, and this is how he kept himself from being weakened. He considered not his own body. What does that mean? He considered not his own body. He paid it no attention. Now, he can't help but notice he's 100 years old. He can't help but notice his wife is 90. But he paid it no mind. He did not deny the reality of it. I mean, there's no sense in saying, listen, you understand faith is not for Abraham to say, hey, I'm not 100, I'm only 20. But see, that would be stupid, wouldn't it? He doesn't have any word to base that on. God is going to bring his word to pass, not because of Abraham's age, but because of his promise. It has nothing to do with Abraham's ability. And this is the point that Paul is trying to make. Faith is not dependent upon our ability. Salvation does not come as a result of our performance and a result of our works. It comes because of faith in the grace and the promise of God. And this is an example of that. This is the point that he is trying to make. This is the whole point that he's trying to develop here. That the way that he kept himself from having his faith weakened was he refused to listen and pay attention to the fact that his own body, which was about 100 years old, he didn't consider either the deadness of Sarah's womb. I forget the precise age. Yes, old, but not the same way we're old. Remember, he lived to 100 and he lived to 125, and Sarah at age 75 was beautiful enough for Pharaoh to want her. Right. 175. Didn't I? What did I say? I'm sorry. 175. 175 years. Oh. But not like today. It was in the process of being shortened. The lifespan was shortened to 70 in Moses' day. Yes, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think it's 25, but I'm not sure without going back and reviewing. But yes, a good long while. Mm-hmm. So, a long time. Yes, and he wavered in it at times. This is what happened in Genesis 15 when he said to God, he said, hey, wait a minute, I don't have a son yet. How can this happen? And God reinforced the promise for him. And so he did have, he had his times like that. But once he had that settled, in Genesis 15, it seems there was an assurance in him that he was not troubled by the fact that his body was old and so was his wife's womb dead. Now, this, as I was thinking about this passage, and particularly this verse, I thought about, how can we do that? How can we really walk in the Abraham kind of faith, which is the God kind of faith? Because we do look at our bodies, and we do see that they're weak or that they're sick. You know, when we're dealing, let's just take a situation, let's take a healing situation. Let's suppose that there's something wrong in our body. We feel it every day. It's there. We know it's there. Maybe it hurts. Maybe there's a weakness there that we sense. All right? We know it's there. How do we not consider it? How can we not consider it? How can we pay it no attention? And the Lord gave me this image of the way a camera works. Have you ever used a good camera now, a 35-millimeter camera? And if you want to take, let's take this item right here. Beautiful, isn't it? How about this item? Ugly, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's metal and glass, and it's got masking tape on it that isn't even cut straight. Okay, now look at the two things. Okay? Now, when you're looking at that, when I say look at this, look at this. Now, while you're looking at this, I want you to note how this overhead projector looks to you. It's fuzzy, isn't it? You can hardly see it. Why? Because you are focused on this. And you can only focus on one thing at the same time. Now, look at this. Now look at the projector. Now, this looks sharp and clear and more real than these beautiful flowers do. Because now, keep looking at the projector, and I want you to consider, what do these flowers look like? Do they look as nice as they did a minute ago? They're all fuzzy, aren't they? And out of focus. Now, this is what a camera does. A camera, if you wanted to take a picture of this, you would focus in on this, and everything behind it would grow dim. On the other hand, if you want to take a picture of that, you look right past this and focus on that, and this would be the sharpest, brightest thing in your image. You wouldn't even see this, even though it's closer to you. This is the way, this is what the Lord was showing me. This is the way it is with the promises of God. This is your sick body. And this is the promise of God for healing. If you will look at the promise, you will not consider or take note of the sick body. Are you listening? If you focus on this. But if you're focusing on this all the time, then you are not going to see the promise of God. It's there. It may even be right up in your nose. But you won't see it because you're looking past it at the circumstances. Now, this is what Abraham chose to, and this is a choice, isn't it? When I said to you, look at the ugly projector, everybody did, didn't you? When I said, look at the pretty flowers, everybody did. Why? Because this is a choice we can make, isn't it? And that's how a camera does. Now, when you are working the camera, all you have to do is flip a lever or move or turn the lens. And you can focus on whatever you want to focus on. The same thing is true in the realm of the Spirit. You can focus on the promise of God, or you can focus on the ugly symptoms that are in your body. You can focus on the promise of God, or you can focus on the rebellion that is in your child. You can focus on the promise of God, or you can concentrate on the stiff-neckedness in somebody that's giving you trouble. And this is the thing that determines what we are going to get. Calling those things that be not as if they were. What you focus on, what you make the object of your focus and attention is what you're going to get. You're either going to get these beautiful roses or you're going to get this ugly piece of steal. Are you listening? Now, what did Abraham do? He made a choice. This is why, see, this is so important for us to understand. Faith is not something that just kind of drifts in on us on a spiritual cloud. Faith is not something that happens to us. Faith is not something that God does to us. Faith is something that we choose. Abraham chose. He was not weak in faith. He refused to look at his own body, even though it was dead. He refused to consider the fact that Sarah's womb was dead and it was absolutely impossible for her to conceive. Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You know, when you're trying to walk a faith walk in a particular thing, there will be things that will come against you that will knock you. I feel like sometimes I feel like a boxer in a ring. You take a shot. You know, it staggers you. The thing that staggers us in our faith walk is when you get a new doctor's report. Or the policeman cals and says, I got your son down here. You want to come down and get him out? Now see, that's a poke, isn't it? I mean, that's a jolt. He staggered not. He refused to stagger at the promise of God through his unbelief. Unbelief is what causes us to stagger. See, when we get the report, there's some things that have occurred in my own life that I just don't feel the liberty to share with you quite, but I wish I could share with you. I've experienced these things myself. I know what Abraham is talking about here. I understand this so well. I'm just praying that as I'm sharing this tonight and as we're reading through this passage, that the Spirit of the Lord will be revealing these things to you, that you'll be able to see this in your own circumstances. Nobody can teach you these things like the Spirit of God can. Nobody can show you these things like the Spirit of God can. No, I don't care how good the teacher is. I don't care how good the teaching is. Nobody can cause you to really understand these truths unless it comes through the Spirit of God. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through his unbelief. Every time we have a negative something or other, see this, I'm standing here with this, watch what happens. John, come up behind me here, please. Now, I want you to look at the roses. John, I want you to take the transparency off the thing over there and put another one on. Turn the machine on. Oh, never mind. Okay. Now, were you tempted to look at what John was doing while I was discussing this with him? You wanted to, didn't you? Some of you snuck a peek. Some of you did. I know. Some of you looked. Now, what happens when you look? Thank you, John. What happens when you look? See, that's unbelief, isn't it? And when you get off your faith because you take your focus off the promise of God, when you enter into unbelief, you'll stagger in the promise. You forget what those roses look like. You forget what that promise said. You forgot what the Lord told you. That's how we stagger. The Scripture says that Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. He stood firm. We have a song that goes, I'm stand on the rock. But he was rather, Paul says, he was strong in faith. And how did he remain strong in faith? He gave glory to God. What would be another word for that? What's a one word synonym for giving glory to God?
Right.
He praised. He praised. Now he didn't see the child yet. He didn't even see the sign that she was pregnant. There was nothing. There was nothing. But he praised God. And he also, now the word does not say so, but I can't imagine that it would be any other way. He also acted as if the promise would come to pass. That means that, how can I say this delicately? They were husband and wife in a husband and wife way. it was this child was not going to be born by supernatural means. Because why do we know that? How do we know this child wasn't to be born by natural means? Or supernatural means? Yeah. So he said what? It would be Abraham's seed. So shall thy seed be. You'll be the father of many nations. See, I mean, there's got to be a normal physical relationship here between this husband and wife. There's got to be a natural father and natural mother. Now, it was a supernatural experience, but it was not like the birth of Jesus. You understand the comparison that I'm making here? And so Abraham, see, the scripture doesn't talk about this, but when you think about this, you think, okay, Abraham is acting like, hey, I'm going to have me some children. And he's doing the things that you would do if you were going to have a family. Her womb is still dead. He's 100, but they're believing God. I mean, does it make sense to you? Yeah. I'm going to be a dad. And you can imagine routinely he's looking. You understand what this is for this man, Abraham? He has none of the benefits we do. He had none of those people going before him that were able to give him testimony and say, yes, God is faithful, and let me give you a witness, and let me share my testimony, and say, he had none of that. He was a one of a kind. In the whole world, he was a one of a kind. And yet, I'm sure that he's hoping, and maybe this month I'll start to see, you know, maybe this time this will work. Tonight will be the night. Think about how this man is living and what's going on in his life. But he was strong in his faith, and he's given glory to God. He's praising God. He said, oh, Lord, thank God this is good. If it doesn't happen tonight, it'll be tomorrow. If it's not tomorrow, it'll be the next day. But bless God, you promised my seed will be like the stars of the sky. It starts with one child, a son, and I know that this is going to happen. Verse 21 says that he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, to be fully persuaded means that nobody could tell him differently. You could talk to him till you were blue in the face, but you would get nowhere. You would never get Abraham to agree with you, with your doubts. Remember, this is a man who had already been tested. How was he tested? God spoke to him in the land of Ur of the Chaldees and said, I'm going to take you to a land that thou knowest not. Gather up your family and go, and I'll show you. He'd already gone. He'd already shown that he could hear the voice of the Lord and be obedient to that. This is just another example. As Joan made the point, it was many, many years for this to happen. And there were some occasions along the way, especially the situation with Ishmael. But after that, surely, the scripture gives us evidence that Abraham finally was able to get his faith focused in on the promise of God. Hey, we tried it our way. We tried it your way, Sarah. We tried all these other things. Isn't anything going to happen? Now, Abraham didn't have much support here. He pretty much was all alone. Do you remember the story from the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis that Abraham is busying himself around the camp and Sarah is busied around the tent, and here come three men, strangers, toward them from afar. As they got there, the very hospitable there, and Abraham says to his wife, get a calf and kill it and fix a meal for these strangers. Would you stay and have dinner with us? And they agreed to do so. Nobody knew one of them was the Lord. The other two were two of his angels. And so after they had eaten, the Lord speaks to Abraham and says, next year about this time, you're going to have a son. Abraham's in the tent. Sarah's in the tent. She starts to laugh. She is laughing at this. So the Lord calls her forth and says, Sarah, you're laughing at it? And then she denied it. No, I didn't laugh. But she knows this is impossible. So here's this man, he's all by himself. Give me a break here.
It's not all mine.
He's not getting very much help from his family. I'm not putting Sarah down. I'm simply expressing the faith that Abraham has. Okay? And boom, sure enough, a year later, they do have a child. Now, let's go back and look at the passage again, and let's see what it means to be fully persuaded and what it means to have the God kind of faith. Verse 17 says that the God kind of faith calls those things that be not as though they were. So it has something to do with your mouth. If you really believe it in your heart, you're going to say it with your mouth. If you really believe in your heart, the way you talk will express whether you really believe in the promises of God, or whether, in other words, whether you're focusing on the roses or whether you're focusing on the nasty old machine. Verse 18 says that, and 17 and 18 both say that the God kind of faith, the kind of faith Abraham had, is based purely and completely and totally upon the Word of God. Abraham is said to have not given any consideration to his natural circumstances, even though they were screaming against what God had promised. The 20th verse says that he refused to not believe. He did not stagger at God's promises, but rather he kept his faith strong by praising God rather than praising the negative circumstances, and that's what happens when we talk about them all the time. And verse 21 says that he was fully persuaded. I like the word, he was convinced. I like to say here that Abraham did not have an opinion about what was going to happen. He had a conviction about what was going to happen. That he was able also to perform. I believe that about my God too, don't you? Now, there are areas in my life that I'm still staggering, you know, with unbelief. I confess that. I'm embarrassed to confess it, but I do. There are other areas in my life that, man, I have won the victory in those areas. I am fully persuaded that since God promised it, I know that he is able to do it. And I know that he will, in fact, do it. Now, verse 22 says, therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. What was imputed unto him for righteousness? His faith. God said, I'm looking at your faith. That's really what I want from you. And if you will believe in the things that I have promised you, I will consider you to be righteous, regardless of the fact that you have fallen and you have missed it. You have fallen and you've stumbled it. You have stumbled. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be totally cast down, for the Lord will uphold him in the way. Abraham did fall. He did slip. He did miss it on occasion. But God's looking at this man's heart and seeing that he is persuaded about the promises of God. God said, I'm going to take your faith and I'm going to put it on your account with me as righteousness. Now, verse 23. Before him. See, this phrase is before him, or it doesn't mean in anticipation. It doesn't mean in front of him. It doesn't mean before in the way we use it. It means, I haven't looked this up in a while. I have this written in the margin of my Bibles from previous study. But what it means is, like unto God. Yes, the best way. Like unto him, even God, is the next part of the phrase. I mean, it's clear that it's talking about what the him is God. Before him whom he believed, even God. So that's real clear from the context. The word before, however, is a word that is, the translation is not as some of the King James words. Let's say, if I say, in this way, this is a use of the word, it's not precise at all, but if I say I'm standing before Jan, I'm in front of her, I'm in her presence, it doesn't mean before in terms of prior. It means with. Do you get the idea here? And some of the Elizabethan words, the word hope, for example, we talk about hope, and we use the word hope in terms of wishing. But the Greek never used that word hope
as wishing. His hope was, I'm expecting confidently it would be impossible for this not to occur. And so the phrase before him whom he believed, even God, is what Paul is describing here, is that Abraham is like unto him whom he believed, even God. God's kind of faith, that is the idea. He had God's word, though, see? That's the point we were making. It was spoken to him.